Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Now it's time to welcome my guest this morning, Dr. Jenny Birchall. Dr. Jenny Birchall's been working on a wonderful book, The Life and Times of a Choral Society, Dunedin's City Choir. Also known as City Choir Dunedin. Now, of course, an interesting history, I'm absolutely sure, and a wonderful book. Jenny, thanks for joining us on the Awesome Morning Show. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the origins of this project.
The project had its origins in the fact that the choir was heading to its 150th anniversary in 2013, and it seemed like a good opportunity to write up its full 150-year history, which nobody had done before.
Where do you start?
I actually start with the arrival of the settlers in Otago in 1848, when there was no choral music, and in fact they had to wait 15 years for a choral society.
What can you tell us about those very earliest days? Who were the drivers behind it?
The reason for the delay for the establishment of a choral society was quite simply that the first settlers were governed, at least by the Free Church of Scotland, which had no music in its services apart from psalmody. This was led by a precentor. He would sing one line and everybody else would, or actually in Otago mostly didn't, sing the same line again. So they had no need of a professional musician. And it wasn't until 1858, with the next wave of immigration, that there was any work at all for any kind of professional musician. So with that increase of population, there was a little bit more music, but then it wasn't until the Gold Rush and the establishment of the theatres and simply a much larger population that there was any space or any need for a choral society. Dunedin just simply wasn't ready for it.
When you begin a journey like this, you obviously have to find the reliable sources. Were the choir's records themselves very comprehensive at the time?
The records are actually pretty patchy. The first official documentation we have is from the first minute book is from 1903, starts in 1903, and there are quite substantial holes actually even from then onwards. So I read an awful lot of newspapers because newspapers are not reliable in that you're always getting somebody's opinion, and actually in the early newspapers you're getting a lot of people's opinions, some of them really quite violent. But it does actually report that something did happen. You know that there is activity at the very least.
And that would have included record of public performance and that kind of thing. What kind of venues were they using in the very earliest days?
Anything they could get, really, but they didn't have a purpose-built hall until the town hall in 1930, which was something that every musical association in Dunedin had been pushing for very hard. They made do with every hall they could find, really. They used the University Hall, 1871, which had been built as the post office and then turned into the Exchange Building. That was a gift for them for quite a long time. Then they had to move into the theatres. They used the Garrison Hall. They used the Agricultural Hall, which then became St James's.
Second oldest choral society in New Zealand. That's something to be proud of. I suppose as with any organisation like this, numbers have waxed and waned over the years. Has there been a consistent membership? Have there been times when it's nearly fallen over and come back?
There have been times where it's fallen over completely, actually. Mm. It's went through several incarnations. It's now, its most recent version started up in 1914, and it's run continuously since then. But actually no choral society has made it through without collapse at various points. Even the Auckland Choral, which is the oldest one, certainly was moribund for a while. And while we claim to be the second oldest one, we're the second oldest surviving one. It's not quite the same.
Yes, indeed. What's the earliest record of the first kind of major performance by the choir?
Oh, its first performance was 8 weeks after it formed, when they performed quite a large chunk of Messiah on Christmas Eve, 1863.
Fantastic. And they would have revisited that work, I imagine, a number of times over the years.
Yes, it's the most popular work. It's the one most frequently performed.
A number of personalities, I imagine, emerged through doing an historical piece like this. Some of the key characters that have been really significant in the choir's history?
Well, I think one of the most significant, perhaps the most significant, would have to be George West, who was the original founder. And he's actually a very significant figure in New Zealand, in Otago musical history anyway, because he was a very busy man. He was very active, very ingenious, and really had a finger in every musical pie. I mean, he was involved with the first brass band. He was involved in church music. He was involved in theatre. He was involved in the choir, of course. He was very busy.
Jenny, a book like this, always best if you can dig up some great images to go along with it. Tell us about that part of your challenge.
One of my best finds was a picture of Sidney Wolfe, who was the founder of the 1914 choir. We have the first photo of any conductor actually at work. We have a picture of him at the Queen Carnival in 1915 conducting the choir and an orchestra.
Fantastic stuff. And, of course, the closer you come to modern-day history, more images available, more easily available. Now we take photos of everything, and we've got thousands of them, but it's those earliest ones which always seem so much more precious. Why is it important to document something like this?
I think it's particularly important for a society like this one, because it's been actually a central part of musical life in Dunedin for such a long time. It means that every other musical organisation has had contact with the Dunedin Choral Society at some point, in some way and form, and they were a central part of the cultural life. So many other institutions also came in contact with them. So it's not just a history of the Choral Society, it's a history of how the Choral Society fitted into the fabric of Dunedin's cultural life.
There was a short article by Brenda Harwood in The Star last week about this book, and I know you haven't seen it, Jenny, so this might take you by surprise, but one of the things she says in it is that part of what this book does is bust a few myths about the early days. Can you expand on that for us?
Well, when I began work, I was presented with the official version of the choir's history, which turned out to be almost entirely based on hope and error and reminiscence. And, you know, reminiscences are very entertaining, but they're often actually not quite what happened at the time.
Right. You would have celebrated the launch of the book. How did you do that?
Oh, we had a lovely party. We met in Hanover Hall, which is a place actually that the choir has sung in its history. And we had the choir sang extracts from the three most commonly performed works, Messiah, Elijah and Creation. And we had speeches and drinks and a book signing.
How on earth do you finance something like this? It's a beautiful book. It's quite a substantial work, lots of images in it. How have you made that possible?
We've been very lucky that we've been able to get quite a large number of grants towards it.
Well, I'm sure they're all acknowledged in the book itself.
Yes, indeed,
too,
they are. They're too long to read out now.
And now it's out there for public consumption. Where can people find it?
You can get it through the City Choir website, or you can go into Paper Plus or UBS. They will have it.
All right. When you're put to bed at work like that, there'll be an immense amount of satisfaction, I take it, Jenny. What about a next project?
I think that probably the thing I'm looking at next is the book that it would have been handy for me to have when I started writing this. There is no full history, or indeed any accurate history, of musical life in early Dunedin, and it would have saved me a heap of time if I could have referred to it instead of having to go back from scratch. So I think that's what I'll look at.
Well, there you go. You've set yourself quite a task. So do get a hold of this beautiful book, The Life and Times of a Choral Society, Dunedin's City Choir, 1863 to 2013. The book available now for you to enjoy and share, and I'm sure there's people all over New Zealand who've had affiliations with the choir over the years who'd be most interested in hearing about it and getting a copy of it. Dr. Jenny Birchall, thanks for joining us on The Awesome Morning Show.
Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go with podcasts and live streaming of premier local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This program was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.